So what about the real, actual Italy? Who needs that? Well, I've researched that question too. And the first answer is Germans. Germans need Italy. Millions of them. I mean, untold, or actually not uncounted, but counted millions of them in yearbooks on holiday. Every year, 10, 11, 12 million Germans in Italy every year. A much higher number of tourists and visitors to Italy than any other nationality. And I'm told they're taking the waters. That's what they're doing. Taking the waters in a long-standing national tradition. And then, of course, there's the rest of us. What are we all looking for here that we can't find at home? The pilgrimage to Rome or Italy in general, even when it's not religious, even when it's artistic or educational, is taken very seriously, always has been. Let me quote you what Dr. Johnson said. "Sir," he said, "a man who has not been in Italy is always conscious of an inferiority."
Grazie.
And it may well be true to this day. After Shakespeare, you see, and I'm sure under his influence, English persons, young English persons of wealth and standing, sent their sons on the grand tour. Going to Italy was an education, taking a diploma in the fine arts. I'm sorry to say it also included taking the actual arts as well, which somehow went back home. While the Germans were taking the waters, we were taking the fountains. So many stately homes, you can see them now, go and visit them. Actually furnished from the grand tour. I mean, power and prestige then as now are measured in paintings and statues. But the most serious aspect of all, this is the essential point, I think, was learning, training in artistic skills. That's why people went. They were all those things, it was technique that was available in the homeland of Leonardo da Vinci and the Renaissance. Let me look again at Goethe's famous poem that I began with. What it says is, among other things, that we have to look at life in a new light. First literally, then metaphorically. Just look at the opening words. Kennst du das Land, wo die Zitronen blühen? Those words illuminate the subject with a fresh vision. It's a painting, it's a new painting by an old master. It's the colours of blossom, it's the colours of lemons, it's the colours of springtime, mixed on the same palette with the idea of ripening sunshine. Then consider how the poem goes on. More colours, oranges glowing against dark foliage like golden lamps in a green night. Different, various greens of laurels and myrtle, as the poem says, the whiteness of marble pillars and statues, the brightness of rooms that shine and gleam, es glänzt der Saal, es schimmert das Gemach. Italy itself becomes a beautiful picture. It's, as it were, hung in the gallery of our minds as a perpetual inspiration. Rather like the view from the terrace here, you could put a frame around it and exhibit it. And you can also contemplate it, but it has a purpose far beyond mere passive contemplation. In Goethe's poem, everyone is stimulated and exhorted to action. Dahin, he says, let's go there. Okay, off we go, with the promise of fulfillment. So what makes artists go there? And what happens when they get there? What I'd like to do now is to take some salient examples in date order. As I said, I have to limit my subject somehow. So I'll concentrate on those non-Italian artists who needed to create and inhabit, like Shakespeare, an Italy of the artistic imagination. But especially, in view of our subject, in the field of motivic music generally, and song in particular.